so nice to be home. It's nice to be home. I feel downstairs is the living room now, like in the den. Bismikdash is the cheder amitah. This is the place that we're going to be soon with the Kadosh Baruch, Kadosh Kadosh and Mitzvah. To thank the whole chevra for putting this together and all the work and money that went into it and those who sponsored and paid for it. It's nice to have our own chevra and Shlomi and Yehuda. Sorry.
Jake.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, really. It's beautiful. In the past week or two, I've been zeicher to Fabrang Quorum Cotton in YU, in Lakewood, here. And there's somebody that sent me from last time, not the last time I was in Yerushalayim, but a few years ago in Yerushalayim, the last day we were in Yerushalayim. We were together in Shari Chesed and the breast of Abyss of Medrash. We were singing just these Nagunim that came out of that time when we first came out. Chaim David was sitting right over there. We were singing. Purim Cotton. So I want to share with you, I want to learn with you something from Rav Kook, Zeichet Tzad HaVakosh L'Vracha. We see that before Mashiach comes, that these days that when I was growing up, I heard of Purim Cotton, you found it in the Siddur, where it said, no Tachlin, no Metzach, but other than that, it was Purim Cotton. And even in the Chassidish neighborhood, there were very, very few things going on. Only in more of the Eretz Yisrael Dikabat Midrash, and really wasn't much going on. We see that Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av and Purim Cotton and Shavuot these days that are filled with Rosen to Rosen, the deepest secrets of Hashem's Baruch's love for us, that haven't been revealed throughout time. And now before Mashiach comes, we're beginning to feel an Or Chayz, a light from Mashiach that's coming back to us now. And we're beginning to feel this in a very strong way. Zeh Cotton Godliyah. As I spoke about on Shabbos, that this little Purim, Godliyah, is exceedingly great. In a certain way, in Panemius, it's even greater than regular Purim. But it's very quiet, very, very quiet, and very sneezdik. So let's learn together for a few minutes of Torah from the first Chaylik of Laris HaKadosh, page Reshon and Gimel. Kitrug halavon and esparish yofe berozei hanefesh. Everybody knows when we were talking about this on Shabbos. The Gemara's in Chulin and all the different drashim, the Zohar Kaddish talk a lot about, and the Kisvei Ari. What happened at the beginning of time? The kitrug of the Levana, that there was an issue between the Shnei Ma'aris HaGadolim, between the sun and the moon. And as a result of that contention of the moon with the sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the moon, L'chi me'ati esatzmech, to diminish herself, her stature, to dim her light. L'chi me'ati esatzmech. And that the whole golist is a matzah of miut or hayereach, pegam halavana, that pegam of the levana. Which I spoke about on Shabbos a little bit. This inyan of the levana, of the cham and the levana, the sun and the moon, Rav Kook begins this Torah with the words, kitrug halavana misparish yofa berozei hanefesh. This inyan between the sun and the moon can be understood in a beautiful and deep way. Berozei hanefesh, when we enter into the secrets of our own souls, that means that in each and every one of us, there's a sun and there's a moon. In each and every one of us, there's a chama and there's a levana. And in each and every one of us, the levana is eclipsed by the light of the sun, and the moon's light has been diminished. And we're davening or begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring back that light into ourselves, into us. So Puk explains what this means. Haseichel hamor hagod. In the beginning, there were Shnei Ma'ariz Kadam. There were two great luminaries, two great lights. The Seichel, the intellect, the Haregesh, and emotions. The mind and the heart are the two Ma'ariz HaGadolim, are the two great luminaries that Hashem created in the universe and within each and every one of us. The present state of things is that there's Amor HaGadol, is the Seichel is Amor HaGadol. The mind and the intellect is the Mor HaGadol. Is that great, powerful light of the sun, is the mind. V'haregesh, emotions, feelings. V'haregesh is HaKotan. Haregesh, emotions, are the moon that's within us. Shneim oimdim mishkal echad. The truth is that shneim oimdim mishkal echad, that the sun and the moon, the mind and the heart, are be'emes, were created to be oimdim, the mishkal echad, as equally great, equally respected. With their light shining both in the greatest way. Havel shoinim heim darcheyem. But their ways are so different. The way of the sun, of the intellect, and the way of the moon, the heart, the emotions, those ways are different. And very often there are conflicts. There's a problem. There are stiras between the sun and the moon. So that stira, that conflict that took place, that machlekes, that kitrug at the beginning of time between the sun and the moon, is something which continues on through time. And the stiras shebeneihem, all the difficulties in marriage between a husband and wife, all the difficulties between parents and children, between teachers and students, all go back to that kitrug, that machlokes between the sun and the moon. Ulfam rabbis mo'ed hastius shebeneihem. Eef shel shnei malachim sheibstamshu bekesar echad. The kitrug of the levan is, how can it be that two kings, how could it be that two kings should share a crown? How could it be such a thing? That two kings should wear one crown. That's the kitrug of the Levana at the beginning of time. So Rav Kook focuses on this one aspect of the kitrug of the Pagam HaLevana. He says there are many steers, but Berozeh HaNefesh, this is the deepest of them. Haregesh Koivel. The heart is complaining. One's emotions have a taina. Haregesh Koivel. Efshu l'seichu l'harchiv es atzmai ad kidei kabolos kol ha-hafochim. The regesh, the moon, complains that the mind of a person has the capacity to contain within it all kinds of contradictions and conflicts. The mind of a person is capable of thinking of one thing, of thinking another thing, of there being some sort of a strange resolution that's called Eil Ve'Eil Divlekim Chayim, that both these and those are the living words, the words of the living God, even though Abai says this and Rava says that, even though Bjerchen says Reish Lakish, that somehow even one person himself can contain within the mind all kinds of different ideas that are often at odds with each other. These ideas are at odds with each other. Haregesh kervel efshel ha-seichel la-harchiv es atzmai. So Rav Kook says the seichel has this ability, la-harchiv es atzmai, to expand itself, to be in so many places at the same time. Right now, a significant amount of people here, right now in their minds, are in different places. At this very moment. That's not said by way of criticism. Tivum shel Devar Mezazayim. It's the nature of the mind to wander, to be in two places at the same time, and to have conflicting, contradictory thoughts, opinions, going back and forth. Masha'en kein beregesh, Rav Kook says, but with the emotions, with the heart, at any particular moment. The heart can only really, really, fully be completely in one place, not in different places. There might be songs, there might be poems that speak about it, but the emes is that if your heart is really full, it can't contain contradictions. That's what Shlomo Aleichem was saying, Eis Lehav and Eis Lisnai. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. But for love and hate to coexist, for those two powerful emotions, for those extreme emotions to be simultaneously, for the sun and the moon to shine with equal force within a person. The sun, the intellect, and in the emotions, for the emotions to be fully engaged. Eis Lehav, Eis Lisnai. The heart is not bemis, is not soivel, that a person should be filled with simcha and chalila filled with atzvus, with sadness. But the Zohar HaKadosh says that there are two sides of the heart, and one side can be happy, the other side can be sad. But we don't know how to feel this, and to be completely in that emotion when there's something else that's tugging at us. We don't know how to. But there is a problem, Rav Kook says, and this goes back to the beginning of time. Something happened, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu told the moon to dim its light, the emotions, the feelings, to become dim in comparison to the light of the sun. This, of course, would mean that the place of a woman in the world would be diminished. The place of children would be diminished. The place of Am Yisrael would be diminished in the world. This primordial, prehistoric tragedy that was woven into the fabric of creation itself, of L'chi Mi'ati Es Atzmeich. And the way Rav Kook explains is that with all of the depth and the beauty of the heart and the emotions, because of its nature to become completely fixated, even obsessed, on one nakuda, on one point, the heart can be very easily led astray from the bigger picture of reality. The heart can become fully engaged without considering, in a healthy and balanced way, the alternatives, because the heart becomes mashcheni acherecha, becomes completely drawn, and becomes filled with emotions. And as a result of that, history has been the story of the diminished light of the moon. And the light of the sun, the light of the intellect, has always been held up to be that which is more important, more crucial, and more respected. And until the end of time, the most respected people in society were the thinkers, their philosophers, and so on. Those were the most respected people, writers and thinkers. But Rav Kook continues over Chol Zois, Lokui Huha Oilam Mipnei Yiridasa Shel HaRegesh Mimroi Meishamav. Rav Kook says the world is terribly, terribly damaged. The world is lakui, is injured, is wounded, is eclipsed and damaged, is darkened. Because of this yirida, of the emotions. Mimroi Meishamav. From the heights, the emotions have been diminished. there's less feeling, and even those who have strong feelings are less respected. On Shabbos, I spoke a little about this, that Zochar Nekeva Barim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava, Zochar Nekeva, one Metzias. Two parts of him, but one Metzias. The Zochar side is the sun, is the intellect, and the Ikka of the Nekeva is that side of Vagish, of emotions. And the Nesira took place, that cutting in half, which is very deeply connected to the whole Indian of Purim, is that took place. And the Miut of the Levana, the Pagam of the Levana, means that the world is suffering terribly. You see, the moon, the Levana, is Taiveya, demands a life that's filled with laughter, with crying, with dancing, with joking, with dreaming, with a person being completely, fully identified with something, lave, this nefesh, ruach, neshama, not just making speeches about Shabbos, not just making speeches about the importance of being a Jew and Jewish identity, but while falling asleep during a Shemoneh Esrei, not feeling a closeness, a kirvus Hashem, just talking about God and thinking about God, but not feeling Him. And ever since that time, that the light of the moon was diminished, Rav Kook says, and this affects the intellect, the mind as well. All of us have met people who are extremely bright and are extremely unhealthy. We all know people like that, who are not well, whose minds have also been damaged as a result of their inability to live emotionally healthy lives. Without that balance between the mind and the heart, there are marriages that are completely ruined, parents with children. Ways of teaching Torah. You could have people who are very, very bright, and they'll give speeches about how what's the need for their feeling any emotion when it comes to, any, or there being any hashpah of ruchnias and pnimias, musar, achsidas, against these things. Kilo, it's not a part of being a Jew. Chalila. V'ner kamizakusa. Rav Kook says the mind is not pure. Its pureness has been sullied, has been somehow polluted as a result of the diminished state of the moon. Ayidei han mechosai shel haregesh v'hagbalosai. Because of the limitation of the light of the emotions of the moon. V'ihis chabrusei hatadiris bor haseichel. And because the mind and the heart are far from each other. That's another song on the album. It was very, Chaim David sings it on the album. And on the tape that I got yesterday, that one of the chevres sent me, so Chaim David was sitting right over there, right behind me, and we were singing the mind and heart, think and act as strangers. The mind and heart think and act as strangers. This is the music, the songs from Michal Shapiro. But Chaim David sings it on the album. The mind and heart are so far away from each other, they think and they act as strangers. Stokowski said that from one place to the other is more than from Shemayim to Aretz, from the mind to the heart. And this separation between the two is unbelievably painful. You know, it's an interesting thing. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Yud Zayin, where Rosh Chodesh is a shtick la'yonta for women. You know that. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that there's a minig of women not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, because we understand that Rosh Chodesh is the hischachus of the levana, and that reappearance of the moon, that sudden light of the moon, is that reassurance to the women that their existence, that is deeply, deeply rooted in the light of the moon, in so many ways, with the emotions as well, that light is real, and that one day it's going to be brought back to its previous glory. So there's a minhag of women, Baruch Chodesh, not to do malacha. So if Huk continues, listen carefully. Mevim kapara lahar eloki. We don't have time to go into that right now. The kapara, this chadas of Baruch Chodesh, the kivyochel Hashem brings a carbon, a kapara, for the fact that the light of the moon has been diminished. She will know that. Chazal tell us that. Hamunach edemiyat hayirach mishtadon lidrei shmili pekemasa shalavana. And now we're trying very, very desperately, Rav Kook says, to demand and to beg for the light of the moon to be restored, for the pagam of the levana to be fixed. Hamadasa b'mishkal hamor hagod, that the moon should be brought back to that equal size that it once was, that it was equal to the sun. Now the only time in our calendar Kiddush Levana is a drop of that. Rosh Chodesh is a stronger appearance of the moon. But the alignment of the light of the sun and the alignment of the moon takes place when? In Ibiyar, in the leap year. That's what happens as a result of the loss of that discrepancy of the 11 days. I mean, of course, Pesach has to come out in the spring. And as a result of that, it must be that we have every couple of years, there's an Ibiyar, there's a Shana Mu'ubaris, in order to bring about the realignment of the sun and the moon. That's the Soid Ha'ibur, the secret. Chazal referred to the leap year as Soid Ha'ibur. And the pshat of Soid Ha'ibur, when you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, and the Gemara and Ksubas and Daf Kaf Yud Beis, the Soid, the secret. Chazal tell us there in the Gemara that we took a shvur, we took an oath that we wouldn't reveal this secret to the nations of the world. What's the secret? If it's talking about the calculations, you could open up the Rambam and you could learn the Ibur. What's the Soid Ha'ibur? If it's a secret, then why should we be chaylich and megal aside? Then the Rambam shouldn't put it in there. Everybody should say, "What are you doing? You shouldn't tell anybody." But the Rambam tells us the Soid Ha'ibur, the Cheshbon, which you look in the Pshat and the Gemara, it sounds like that's the Soid. The Soid has to do with the Cheshbon, but the Cheshbon's not a Soid. Any person who knows a little bit of math can understand that Soid, and it's not. It's a big chachma, but it's not a secret. But the Soid Ha'ibur, the secret of the Ibur, and the Lashon, what it means, Ibur, I'm going to write now, where somebody is expecting something to happen. But we understand, according to what we're learning now from Rav Kook, that this secret of the Kitrug of the Levana can be understood. He says, Yafe, Yafe, Berazeh HaNefesh. We could understand it when we look within ourselves, deeper than ourselves, this secret of the separation of the sun and the moon, of the heart, the mind, men, women, parents, children, teachers, students, one generation to another generation, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua bin Nun. Which the Gemara says in Bava Basra that Moshe Rabbeinu is the sun and Yeshua ben Nun is the moon. That's why the Kibush began with Yericho. Yericho is the Lashon of Yerech, of the moon, the city of Yericho. And there's much, much more with that. It's not time for it now. Maybe at the end I'll get back to one thing about Yeshua. But what happens every leap year, what happens by Purim Katan, is that this little one, the moon, the heart, the emotions, our wives, our daughters, and a deep love of the light, the deep, deep light of Pnimius HaTaira, the light of the emotions of a Jew, are filled with a tremendous, tremendous Shiva to realign itself, to become great, Zakod and Galiyah, to become as great as she once was, like the Seichel, like the light of the intellect. Rav Kook says, aye, the world would be so beautiful then, because until Mashiach comes, that cannot really, really be fully experienced. It's really what the first Torah in Lukut Emoran, for those of you who started Lukut Emoran, you know that this is what it's about, really. Rav Kook says, ma nechmadim, alizim, kabirim, ukadoshim, achayim. And when Mashiach comes, and the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, how joyous, how beautiful life will be. He says, Yehivot smufanecha Hashem okenem okrede aviseinu, l'malos b'gimes ha'lavana. Therefore, when we go out by Kiddush Lavana, and we look up and we see that first sparkling, we see the moon. We dive into Hashem, Yehivot smufanecha Hashem okenem okrede aviseinu, l'malos b'gimes ha'lavana. Please, Bansham, please fill in the light of the moon. V'lo yeba shum miyut. That there shouldn't be any miyut at all. V'yor halavana ka'or achama. So that the light of the moon will be as great as the light of the sun. Ka'or shivas yimei bereishis, the way that it was at the beginning of time. K'may sha'ayis ha'koydim miyuta, the way that the moon was shining before she was dimmed. Shnema vayas alukim is shnei ha'ma'iris ha'gadolim. That at the beginning of time, Hashem created shnei ma'iris ha'gadolim, the mind and the heart, the sun and the moon. As shnei ma'iris ha'gadolim. That's what's going to be when Mashiach comes. And many times over the years, I've shared with you a sentence that's found in the Rav Kook's letters. In the first chelik on page Shin Dalet, Ubedoris ha'achroinim, as we get closer to Mashiach in these last generations, yofelonu ma'oid, kol sichosim shel talmidei ha'gra, yachad in talmidei ha'bal shem tov. What we find most beautiful, Rav Kook says, are the conversations between the students of the Vilna Gaon and the students of the Baal Shem Tov. It's Rav Kook himself, as you know, was had within himself the sun and the moon. But you all know that he was a descendant of Talmidei HaGra, and he's a descendant of Talmidei HaBaal Shem, father and mother, sun and the moon. B'doros ha'achronim yofel onu mo'od kol sichosim sh'Talmidei HaGra yachad im Talmidei HaBaal Shem. Rav Kook says how beautiful it is at the end of time, that the conversations are beginning, starting. The conversations between the Talmidei HaGra and the Talmidei HaBaal Shem. The Vilna Gaon, of course, represents the light of the intellect, of the sun. Not that he didn't have powerful emotions. We can't be masik the moonlight of the Vilna Gaon. We can't be masik. Just like we can't be masik the sunlight of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. But clearly, the Vilna Gaon is the light of the sun. Shal Talmidei HaGra yachad im Talmidei HaBaal Shem, shohayu oimdim b'matzav kol kach nigudi. That years ago, they were at war with each other, these two worlds. There's still some. The people now that try to make a war like this, most healthy, intelligent people look at them as Rahmanis. These kind of people are just when they go home, they make the same trouble for their wife. Most of these people, they don't like the moon, whether it's this or whether it's that. They have an Indian with it. Nobody really. Great people, big people don't take this in. Not by the Chassidim, not by the not Chassidim. It's not anymore. Those who think that they're somehow, that they're a bigger guy than the Vilna Gaon or a bigger Chassid than the Baal Shem HaKadosh, of course this is ridiculous. Rav Kook says that long time ago, so you aimed the mamats of kolkach nigudi zelu mazeh b'shaitam, zelu mazeh b'shaitam. That at the time, there was a strong hisnagdus. As the light of Mashiach began to emerge in the world, and it seemed as if the moon was flexing her muscles, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the light of Mashiach, which is the Irish Mashiach was flexing its muscles. So then there was a kitchug, a very powerful kitchug, that took place, and there was a hismatus, and there was machlekas and kitchugim and so on. Purim Cotton is a yontiv. I saw something from Rav Motel Zilber, Zol Gezun Zayin. I saw this morning where he writes that Purim Cotton is, it's called Purim Cotton aside from the obvious reasons it's called Purim Cotton because a cotton doesn't have das. A child doesn't have das. Could be the smartest kid, but he's missing this nakuda of that connection of the mind and the heart. There's something missing in the das of that Abba and Ima, Chachma, Bina connection. Something is missing in a child. The cotton, it's called Purim cotton. A cotton is in a das. So on regular Purim, a month from now, we're going to be singing and we're going to be having a suda and saying the words Ad lo yada, that to drink on Purim, Ad lo yada. But the mile of Purim cotton is a cotton doesn't have any das at all. Now, it sounds like a chesar, that the child doesn't have any das at all. But that's not a chesar. It's a chesar when it's an adult that doesn't have das. But by a child, it's not a chesar. That the cotton doesn't have das, that the cotton doesn't have das means that a child is completely a chevtza of tiviyut. Tivius. What does it mean, tivius?
Nature.
He is what he is. He is what he is. Tivi. Hadrim hem kamoshet tzichim liot. With a child, and the parents have a hard time with that. And you have the parents are trying to control the child. The child doesn't have any das at all. Because the child is in that place of complete tivius, of that natural existence of being uncomplicated, without those cheshbonos, without those calculations that take away the simchas chaim as we get older. And therefore we could understand that the psicha of our melchama with Amalek, the beginning of our melchama with Amalek, had to take place to Yehoshua, and that wasn't Moshe Rabbein. Moshe Rabbein was sitting there, of course. The Chiyodav Shem Moshe Oisus Muhammad, Shavus Muhammad, but the actual Muhammad say Hilachim Bamalek. Moshe Rabbein told to who was the one to say Hilachim Bamalek? It was to Yehoshua Binu. Yeshua was the one, and the reason for that is because it says by Yehoshua, as Yehoshua says, Umashosi Yehoshua Binun Naar. Yehoshua was like a child. Like the Kruvim. The Kruvim is a Zohar and the Kevah, it's the sun and the moon. The Gemara says Kruvim is the Lashon of Keravia, which means like the faces of children. A male child and a female child, a boy and a girl. But children. Children. And therefore Mashiach is also called a narcot and a child. And ultimately it means those two luminaries being of equal greatness, and those two lights working with each other together, and no longer being any kitrug, no longer any being any machlokes. Umalar's Deus Hashem Kemaim Leam Achasim, Kemaim Leam Achasim, that Das will fill the world, but a Das of Kedusha. A Das that doesn't mean at the expense of one's emotions, of one's feelings. It means a Das that's pure and that's filled with laughter and loving and happiness and dancing and simcha, with all of the brilliance of the sun, of the light of the sun. I want to just share with you a story that I told you years ago. But it's not really a story. It's something that I once read to you. I want to share with you. When I opened up the Eretz HaKodesh, it was inside some of the pages here of my Eretz HaKodesh. So I figured the Baruch Shalom was telling me that I should look at it, and I looked at it, and I saw, I was sorry, let me read it together with you again. There are only a few tzaddikim from whom we have diaries. Any ksavim about themselves and what they were feeling, what they were thinking, it's very, very rare. We have some autobiographical things from Rabbi Nachman. We have from the Eish Kodesh, the Tzav Vizirus. We have from Rav Kook. Some amazing things about himself that he shared with the world. There are very, very few. One of the great writers of Chassidus was the Rebbe Rayatz from Lubavitch, Chusi Yerlein. The Rebbe Rayatz wrote extensive diaries and memoirs. It's very unusual. Very, very unusual. And how open he was in these writings. Very unusual. So this is from the diary of the Friedrich Rebbe. In English, it was June 19th, 1902. In a town in Russia called Serebrinka. The 14th of Sivan. So it was right after Shavuos. It was a week after Shavuos. And the Friedrich Rebbe wasn't Rebbe yet. His father, the Rebbe Rashab's Rebbe, and they had like a family. They took a family trip. There was a family outing, and he writes the following. There's something that's just so Purim Kotendik about this. I have to read it to you. Listen carefully. It is an hour now since I returned from visiting the abandoned old park and its ancient trees. Trees with huge, deep holes in their trunks, which strike a terror in one's heart of the snakes and scorpions which dwell therein. The walks between the rows of trees are overgrown with thorns and nettles, and wherever you turn in the park and square, desolation and ruin. So the Friedrich Rebbe went for a walk in this old park in Serebrinka. And when he was taking this walk, it brought back certain memories of before he was Rebbe when he was younger. Little wonder that the hamlet of Serebrinka and its park in particular are extremely precious to me. For many are the pleasant memories from the summer of 5660, a couple of years earlier, when we lived in Serebrinka, which are tied to it, as recounted in my journals of that year. How pleasant it is to stroll along the walks and trails which we then walked, to sit on the benches on which we then sat, for only they can evoke many details of the talks that I heard at the time from father. Because the Rebbe Rayatz would take walks with his father, the Rebbe Rashab. The Rashab used to take a lot of walks. Every day he would go for walks. And they were away from the home, this place, Serebrinka, this little village, and they would go in the forest and take walks by this park. And the Friedrich Rebbe is thinking back on the walks that he would take with his father, the Rebbe Rashab. And he says that the nuances of the heart cannot be captured in writing. So immediately upon our arrival here today at 6:30 in the evening, I yearned to visit the park. So the Rayat says he, right when they got to Serebrinka, there's a couple years later, he wanted to go visit that park, to go back to that place where he took walks with his father. For an hour and a half, I luxuriated in strolling through the park, sitting on its benches, gazing at the sky, and drowning in memories, until I heard the voice of my three-year-old daughter, Chana, may she live, calling to me, "Father, Father, where are you?" So the Rebbe Rayatz is sitting lost in these thoughts and these emotions, the sun and the moon, and he suddenly hears his little girl, Chana, calling father. She was looking for him. She was looking for her father. She's calling out, "Father, Father, where are you? Father, Father, answer me." Repeating her call twice and three times. Her call interjected most aptly into my thoughts. At that very moment, I had been thinking about my father's discourse of the past Shabbos Parshas and also entitled, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. So the Rayat says that at that moment, I was reviewing in my mind, sitting there by the trees in this place that he loved. He was reviewing the teaching of his father, the Rebbe Rashab, from the week before, the Shabbos before, Vayevad Hashem al HaSinai. Matan Torah. In it, Father cites a metaphor to explain the difference between the divine flow which comes in response to one's Torah study and observance of mitzvahs, and God's response to one's service of the heart, one's prayer. The service of Torah and mitzvahs draws a divine response comparable to a father's pleasure in a son who toils in his father's business to increase his father's wealth. But the response evoked by prayer is like a father's response to a small child who yearns for him and cries out, "Father, Father, answer me, Father, answer me." This is what he's thinking back on, that the Rebbe Shabbos is explaining, that when a person learns Torah, in other words, when the light of the sun is shining brightly, that draws from Hashem a tremendous response, a tremendous thing, a flow that comes from Shemayim. But it's like the flow his father taught, it's like the flow of a son who works in his father's business to increase his father's wealth. That's the sunlight. That's the study of Torah. But the response evoked by davening Avodas Halev, it's like a father's response to a small child who yearns for him and cries, "Father, Father, answer me." Hearing my own daughter's cries, I sensed in my own self how a child's call of "Father, Father" awakens an inner delight that is incomparably greater than the pleasure accorded by the older son's most impressive accomplishments, by all of the sunlight of the son's accomplishments. The calling continued, "Father, Father, where are you? Father, Father, answer me, hug me." I followed her voice, and she hugged me, and told me that grandfather, grandmother, and mother were all waiting for me for the evening meal. "She too will eat with us," she said with pride. But her younger sister, Chayimushka, that's Lubavitcher Rebbetzin, but her younger sister, Chayimushka, is already asleep. In fact, she slept through the entire trip from Lubavitch and doesn't even know that we arrived in the country. And she laughed and laughed in delight, the little girl. That's Purim Katan. Purim Katan, it doesn't have all of the excitement, doesn't have all of the theatrics and the drama of Purim. It doesn't have all of the mitzvahs of Purim. It doesn't have all of the Torah, the amkus that comes with Purim. But Purim Katan is the reverberations of that laughter of the daughter of the Rebbe Ryatz, of little Hanala, in the forest that day in Russia. All the laughter that we want to be able to bring forth in ourselves, all of the pure emotions that we want to bring forth in ourselves, but we're so afraid of where those emotions might lead us, and we're afraid to be vulnerable, we're afraid to feel. And then that part of the mind takes over and the emotions are embarrassed and the light of the moon is diminished. Just like the women and our wives throughout time have had to retreat from their men. The laughter of that little girl is Purim Katan. And that's what Ramat was talking about. The sweetness of a katan that doesn't have any das at all. It's not that you have to work on, you have to drink to come to a madrega of Adla Yada. On Purim, you could be without das, without having a sip. That's a much bigger chachma. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, that's not a chachma. That just means you're not about das. It's no big thing to be a shaita. It's nothing to be proud of to not have das. It's nothing to be proud of. But the very essence of the child and his sweetness is not that he has to do something artificial to pour a bunch of bottles to come to a place that's called Adal Yada. The very beauty of a child is kamoshahu, kamoshihi. Doesn't need to do anything phony or artificial. The child is saying, "I'm not a badass at all. I'm not a badass. I'm a chepsa of the moon." And now the world is more worried about, our world is becoming more worried about children than ever before. And our world is becoming more worried about women in a healthy way, in a normal way. I'm not talking about things that are unhealthy, you understand, than ever before. Because the light of the moon is getting ready to reappear in the world. And on that day we're going to see the biggest, most beautiful rikud. There'll be a rikud first. First there'll be a joke. Rav Naftali Rapshis is going to say a gevaldige joke. David HaMelech is going to start saying some good jokes and play a niggun. and the Olam is going to dance mamish like crazy, like crazy. The Olam is going to dance. And then we're going to hear a shir from Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're going to hear a shir from the Gaon. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is going to be there. And the Chassidim, the Talmidei HaGaon, the Talmidei Baal Shem, are not just going to be conversing with each other. They'll be apologizing to each other and hugging each other. And on that day, the light of the sun will be like the light of the moon. Amen.